I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening, we are just at the beginning of thinking about the explanation of the second article of the Creed, I believe in Jesus Christ and that he's my Lord. This evening, we take up that part that he is true God, begotten from the Father of eternity. And as we go through these teachings Wednesday by Wednesday, I hope you see, I'll try my best, that the hymns will match up with them. And so the first hymn will always kind of have a Lent or Holy Week thing, although you'll see talk about in the first verse of the opening hymn tonight, Jesus is the Redeemer, which matches up with Isaiah 44. I'll point it out later. Then the song, I didn't realize, but the sermon hymn is new to you, at least new to Diane, maybe to all you too. But you'll see there also that talks about how Christ is God. And you'll see that in that hymn. And then the closing hymn always is either a hymn of blessing or evening or close of service. And that's always been the pattern. Maybe you've seen that in these Advent and Lent services when I've been doing this. Sometimes, and maybe next week I'll remember to tell you, but I'm thinking of it now. Sometimes that sermon theme, that middle hymn that's connected with the sermon, may not always be from Lent because we're thinking about the theme. Well, next week is he's also Son of Mary. And I have a hymn picked out actually from Christmas for next week's middle hymn, talking about Jesus as the Son of Mary, which is in the Creed. So the hymns will vary a little bit by little bit that way. They won't always be Lent and Holy Week during these Wednesday evening services. And I wanted just to give you a heads up on that. And also you'll see the Bible studies or the Bible readings are also picked according to the theme. So we'll see if you can recognize how it all fits together. We sing our opening hymn, 4-5-4, sing my tongue the glorious battle.
None in foliage, none in Unto God be praise and glory to the Father and the Son, to the eternal Spirit, honor now and evermore be done. Praise and glory in the highest, while the timeless ages run.
We speak the opening versicles for Lent. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful,
slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil.
Jesus said, if any man would come after me,
let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
The congregation may be seated. And as you notice in the Old Testament reading and the reading from Acts, there's underlined sections, and then those will be specifically referred to in the sermon and the John reading from John chapter 1. The whole thing is thought about in the sermon. From Isaiah chapter 44, verses 1 through 8. But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call on the name of Jacob, and another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? There is no rock. I know not any. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 18. Now at Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he sprang up and began walking. And when the crowds saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Laconian, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates
and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
The congregation may be seated. The meditation will reflect upon all three readings, but to start, I reread from John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So the part that we are thinking about this evening from the explanation of the second article of the Creed is, I believe that Jesus Christ is true God, begotten of the Father from eternity. Right there in that phrase is everything, all the points that we'll unpack tonight. He is begotten from the Father from eternity. So he and the Father, the Son and the Father, have this eternal relationship between them. One God, two distinct persons, Father and Son, from eternity, we say in the explanation of the Creed. Sometimes we may think, and in my mind, too, sometimes I think God is from eternity. He has all things planned out for me. And I'm thinking of God the Father. And that's not wrong. That's right. But we remember that God the Son is also from eternity. God the Son has also all planned out all things. God the Son also has elected us from the foundation of the world. And so God the Son is intimately involved in our lives in the Old Testament readings, and certainly, as we'll think more next week, born of the Virgin Mary. He's begotten from the Father from eternity. forever, forever in the past, he's always had this relationship with the Father. It's, we can say it with our mouth, we understand the words, but the depth of that meaning, that's a mystery. But that's what Scripture teaches us. And what we know and confess and are taught in Scripture about Jesus is he has these two natures, the Son of God. The Son of God, and also he was incarnate, took on human flesh. The Son of God is begotten of the Father from eternity. That nature of Christ is from forever. The Son of Mary, true man, that had a beginning. That taking on human flesh began at Jesus' conception. But so what we're thinking about tonight is this Son of God, begotten of the Father from eternity. The triune God's qualities, his mercy, his love, his all-powerfulness, his, do you remember the term for all-knowing? Omniscience. All these qualities of God are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit belong to all of them. So when we confess these things about God the Father, we confess these about God the Son as well. And we're going to think about God the Son and what we're taught about him as the Son of God in these several scripture passages. In Isaiah, we know that God has known his people from the beginning. His people elected. He knew Abraham from the beginning. He knew them, Adam and Eve, from the beginning. He knows us from the beginning. He says in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 2, "Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you." The Father formed Israel, and so did the Son. They both have formed Israel. And so it's important for us to see the Son of God was always also involved in the plan of salvation. The Son of God also has chosen us. Verse 3, or the end of verse 2, it says, "Jeshurun, whom I have chosen." God has chosen us. And remember what Jesus said to his disciples, "You have not chosen me, but I chose you." And so Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has known us from the beginning, has known us from our conception, our beginning, and that was our beginning. By the way, this Jeshurun, that word, that proper name there, it only occurs twice in Scripture. I said, if I don't know this, then I don't know if anybody else will know this. So I looked it up. It means in the Hebrew, little beloved one. It's a beloved one, but it has a diminutive ending, the little one, the little beloved one. It's his dear little beloved one. So Israel, God's people, are his little beloved one. The Son of God and God the Father gives his Spirit to the people. In verse 3 there of Isaiah 44, he says, "I will pour my Spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." And so that is both that process, that blessing, that outpouring of the Spirit is sent from the Father, but it's also sent from the Son of God. And Jesus talks like this, remember, in the New Testament. He says, my Father will send the Spirit, but he says also, I will send the Spirit. It's both the Father and the Son sending the Spirit to his people. The Son of God knows us, formed us, chose us, sends the Holy Spirit to us. The Son of God buys back his people. You know that word, don't you? Redeemer, to buy back. It's interesting in verse 6 there, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. The Father and the Son are both involved there. Remember, the Father sent the Son to be the Redeemer. That is a clear teaching in the New Testament. That was always God's plan. God the Son was always in the plan that finally God's people would be redeemed by the Son of God taking on human flesh and dying on a cross to be their sacrifice. The Son of God was involved in this as well in the Old Testament, this plan. And in verse 6 also there from Isaiah 44, it says, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Do you remember in the Revelation Bible study, I am the first and I am the last? It was said about the Father, and then it was also said about the Son towards the end of Revelation. The first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. This is the Son, as well as the Father. So God knows us, the Son of God knows us, as well as the Father and the Spirit. He knows us, he chooses us, he sends us his Spirit, he redeems us. The Son of God is specifically the Redeemer, and the Son of God is the first and the last. I knew I was going to talk about John chapter 1 a little bit. It's so plain there that Jesus is equal with the Father and always present with the Father at the beginning and part of the creating of the world. But I was thinking, where's another passage that talks about Jesus' blessing and his power as creator, as the Son of God? And this passage came to mind in Acts when Paul had this, God performed, did this miracle through Paul's announcement, you know, walk, get up, stand upright on your feet. And the people thought that Paul and Barnabas were Greek gods, Zeus and Hermes. And you can see they were doing it kind of like they were, it's saying they were speaking in Laconian. So they didn't hear what the people were seeing. They didn't know what they're doing. And it says there in, verse 14, but when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they're gathering together the oxen to sacrifice to them. It's like they're off there. It's like, oh, we got to get organized, you know. And notice they had the temple of Zeus in that town. Hey, Zeus is here. We have his temple. We need to have a sacrifice. And so they're organizing their sacrifice to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas tore their clothes. They said, no, we're like you. We're humans. But we have good news. We have a message from God that you should turn from these vain things, not these idols that you've made up in your mind, but vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And what do we hear in John chapter 1 in just a moment in the gospel reading? That everything that was made also through the Word. Everything that was a blessing to the Laconians and their ancestors were blessings to them from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So don't sacrifice to us. And that's just one example of how God's Son has blessed all peoples through the creation. Through, as Paul says, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. This is God the Son and God the Father and God the Spirit giving us these good things. And he doesn't, as it says in other places in Scripture, in these gifts, he doesn't favor certain people. He sends the rain and the sunshine on the good and the evil.
He gives these good things to all people. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 is very clear. There are two persons that John is talking about, the Word and God. They're distinct, but also it says that the Word was God. They're the same. One God, two persons, and the Spirit isn't mentioned here, three persons. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And this is very much specifically talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Father's plan is that people would believe in Jesus Christ and have this life and this light from him. John 3:16, our well-known verse that we memorize. And you know, it used to be put up in football stadiums so much. Remember that? People would hang up John 3:16, and I don't see that so much anymore. John 3:16, people would put it up. And for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is God the Father's plan, that he sent his Son, and so that people believe in the Son and have life in the Son. This is what John chapter 1 is saying. Might have life in his name. All things were made through the Son, and we also know the Father and the Spirit, and this true life is in the Son. When we confess that Jesus Christ is the true Son of God, we are confessing that he has created all things, that we find our life now on earth in him. So there's nothing in this earthly life that is unknown to the Son of God, that is unknown to Jesus. He knows all things. We know this as Christians. I'm not telling you something you haven't heard and believed for so many years of your life. But to say that, and to say that distinctly and clearly, is not what the world says. It's not what unbelievers know. Even unbelievers might offer sacrifices to people. And don't we even do that today? People get honor and glory in various parts of our culture. But we know that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he knows all things, and that his power is beyond anything else in this world because he created this world. He is the Son of God. That is our confession. And that true life, which extends beyond the grave, that is also found in his name. He is the Son of God. And you can make the applications in so many places in your own lives. He knows everything of this life. He has power over everything in this life. And he gives me life that goes beyond the grave. He is the Son of God. And thus, nothing is honored or worshiped or trusted more than the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is the one on which everything hangs. Everything is attached. What did Jesus say? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in me and I in you. He wants us attached and remaining to him because he is our life. And he takes us through this life into everlasting life. He is true God, the true Son of God, begotten of the Father from eternity. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we give honor and praise and we trust in you as the Son of God, as our Redeemer. And we ask you to always build up our faith in you, that you have been sent by the Father
that our life rests in you. And continue to send us your Holy Spirit, that our faith would not grow weak or wane no matter what happens, but continue to look and trust in you. All these things, Jesus, we pray in your name, you who are God with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing this sermon hymn, which may be new to you, 834, O God, O Lord of heaven and earth. The offering is brought forward during the last verse.
God, O Lord of heaven and earth, thy living finger never wrote that life should be an aimless mote, a deathward drift from futile birth. Thy word meant life triumphant held in splendor through thy broken world, since light awoke and life began, thou hast desired thy life for man. Our fatal will to equal thee, our rebel death and night, we seized and used in prideful spite thy wondrous gift of liberty. We housed us in this house of doom, where death had royal scope and room, until thy son of peace breached all its walls for our release. Thou camest to our hall of death, O Christ, to breathe our poisoned air, to drink for us the dark despair that strangled our reluctant breath. How beautiful the feet that trod the road that leads us back to God. How beautiful the feet that ran to bring to man. O Spirit, who didst once restore thy church that it might be again the bringer of good news to man, breathe on thy church once more, that in these gray and latter days there may be those whose life is praise. Each life I doxology to Father, Son, and unto thee.
continue with the prayers written in the bulletin. We pray,
I thank you, my Heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul in all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. We pray the collect of the week. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray and sing our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
We sing our closing hymn, O Blessed Light, O Trinity, 890.
Blessed light, O Trinity, O everlasting unity. song.